I mentioned before about one anothering, and you know, whether you have been to one anothering group or have participated in that at all, it's something that's required of every Christian. And before Jesus leaves his disciples to go to the cross, what is the one thing he emphasizes for them that they must do? It's love one another. So we turn to John chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 1 and then I'm going to move up to 31 and read 31 through 35. Let's begin with verse 1. And one thing about John is John spent so much time on before the crucifixion, Jesus spending time with his disciples, preparing them for what they're going to face. We're going to skip this section, but in this section, actually, Judas will run away. This is the Last Supper. And he fills in a lot of details that, in the interest of writing their Gospels, the other Gospel writers did not include. So here we, starting in verse 1. This is the context verse, verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. I'm skipping on to verse 31. When he was gone, speaking of Judas, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will not look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Let's pray. Father, may you open up this word this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. May my words be faithful and may they help change us to look more like Jesus, to love more like Jesus. Help us, O Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you guessed what we were going to talk about today, we are going to talk about love. We are going to talk about love. And not just any kind of love. You know, when you hear about love, you think about maybe a person. Maybe you think about well, of course I would think about a book, and some of us in here would think about books. But you think about feelings, you think about songs, you think about experiences. And but we're not talking about there's the human experience of love. But we're not just talking about the human experience of love, which is wonderful and created by God. We are talking about something so much greater than that. That is the love of God. That is, as in the words of some of you Princess Bride fans, love, true love. But really, true love. Seriously, true love. The love of God. And you won't find it on the radio on the top 10 list. You won't find it. It does not come, though we have God uses symbols of our human experience to express it. The only place you will find this type of love is in God's relationship with his people, and especially as that relationship is seen on the cross. This type of love is the greatest mystery. See, I will never get over the fact that God loves me. I have not done anything to deserve His love, and yet He still loves me. He goes out of His way to take me and to bring me to Himself. To do, as we'll see in a moment, what Jesus, to send His only Son and to give Him up on the cross. And so, first thing, we receive His love. But as we receive His love, then we step out. Once we've received His love, we step out and we love one another. And that's, so, you know, we start with the gospel. And Jesus' own words here say this. You know, He has loved them, His disciples, as He has loved, so we could put it this way, as He has loved you, so must you now love each other. As He has loved you, so must we love each other. And so we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about Jesus' love first. We're going to talk about, in light of Jesus' love, our love for one another. And then we're going to talk about how that love that we show one another in the church and outside the church impacts the world. So first, we receive Jesus' love. Some of you are very proud. Some of you are looking for help all the time. And you're not, you don't really, you know, you want help. Some of you are very proud and you don't want any help with anything. I'll do it my way all the time. You're walking up to your house and you've got too much to carry. You've got all these grocery bags that you're carrying, or you've got, you know, I've learned about carrying too many things with my sons, because there's two of them, and so I'm completely, but if you try to put on like a backpack and you can't carry too much. And then some well-meaning neighbor will come up to you and say, "Can I help you get in your door?" And sometimes you'll say, if you're the type of person that doesn't mind receiving help, you'll say, "Oh, sure. Here's a bag. I'll open up the door." But if you're the type of person who's more prideful like me and doesn't want to bother with somebody else's help, or because they might do it wrong, you know, they might not help me in the right way, or they might drop the groceries, you reject it. No, I'm fine. And you're balancing, you know, one bag with your knee and you're trying to open the door. You might have a difficult time receiving love. And part of what happens in this passage is that the disciples themselves have a difficult time trying receiving the love that Jesus is going to show them. Starting in verse 1 here. It was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. What is John talking about there? He's talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about the cross. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. Okay, so Jesus is about to wash His disciples' feet, which is an amazing loving act. But that verse does not just include feet washing. It includes what Jesus is about to do. See, He's about to prepare them for the cross. He's about to prepare them for, as it said earlier in verse 1, Him leaving them. And so now He is going to show them the full extent of His love. In the feet washing, in the instructions that He's about to leave them, and then also, and most especially on the cross. So the full extent of His love, the example He gives or the act He does for them is feet washing. Have you ever washed someone else's feet? Have you ever washed someone else's feet? And I'm not talking about the cute little baby feet. Those are easy to wash. Micah stepped in something this past week, which I won't mention, and I had to wash his feet. And though it was awful, but his feet didn't make it awful. You know, the type of love that Jesus is going to show is the type of love shown towards feet that are nasty, that are awful. I think of how many grown-up feet you've washed. If you, maybe a couple of you, maybe you've how many feet do you go around touching during the week? If those of you who aren't in the medical profession, probably your kids and your spouse. If that, you don't go around even your best friend. You don't go around touching his feet or her feet, do you? Or washing their feet. Feet back then were nastier than they were today. They were much nastier. And so one of the things that you do is after a long journey of walking with your sandals and getting your feet really, really dirty and stepping in all kinds of stuff, because they didn't have, you know, the streets of Philadelphia are dirty, aren't they? But back then, imagine if all those streets were dirt. How much dirtier it would be in the city. And so back then, when you were a guest in someone's house, you'd come in and the servant, the lowest servant, because feet are nasty, would clean you off. And so this is unthinkable. And I'm so glad that John included it and that the Holy Spirit inspired John to include it. This is nasty, in a sense. Jesus washing his disciples' feet. But it is a great act of love. And what's the disciples' reaction here? Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand." And then Peter responds, "No, you shall never wash my feet." Lord, You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. How can you wash? You're the Master. If anything, I should be washing your feet. How can you wash my feet? And what does Jesus say? Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part in me." He's talking about more than the act of foot washing there, isn't he? Unless I wash you, he says, you'll understand it later what I'm doing now. When Jesus goes to the cross, he shows his love to us. When he goes to the cross, he, in a way, serves us in a greater way than even feet washing. He's humiliated in the feet washing. He's humiliated in an even greater way on the cross. And that's what he does to love us and to show his love for us. To die for our sins, not just my sin, not just your sin, but all who call upon his name, all their sin. Jesus serves us in that way. So we ultimately see his love when he goes to the cross. Verses 31 through 33 speaks about his glorification, which in John has multiple references, but especially on the cross. Verses 31 through 33, when he was gone, speaking of Judas, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, just as I have told the Jews. So I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. And so Jesus, he's preparing them for the cross. He shows his love for them in this reference. This is the only time in the gospel he uses this word, my children. Normally, this is in the first epistle of John. So he's showing them great care as he's preparing them to leave and go to the cross. So the question is, have you received that love? Have you received that love? I mean, think about it today. I've been in one situation where I've had to wash feet, and that was very uncomfortable for me. Imagine Jesus. Think of the most menial task that you can think of. Jesus doing that, and yet He's saying, what I'm doing on the cross is greater for you. Have you received that love? Are you comfortable with that? You should initially be, I don't want, like, have the response like the disciples. I don't want Jesus washing my feet. If anything, look what He's done. I gotta do it for Him. And that puts the second thing in front of the first thing. The first thing is to be served by Jesus. The first thing is to receive His love. The first thing is to be washed by Jesus. The first thing is to be cleansed by Jesus. To give up your guilt of your sin to Jesus and say, take this upon yourself. Please forgive me. My only hope is in You on the cross. And after you're served by Jesus, then we get to the second thing. Then you can wash His feet. If we were to continue the analogy. But first we must be washed by Him. Amen? I think I'd be right there with the disciples in my objection. No, Lord, You cannot wash my feet. That makes me uncomfortable. Have You been washed? You could be in this situation. In Sunday school, we talked about the need for the gospel to be a daily occurrence for us. You're a Christian. You've been saved by Christ. The gospel needs to be front and center all the time. Not something that you started with and now have moved and grown beyond, but all the time. Why? Because we're continuing to sin. But you can either be a person who has not been washed yet by Jesus, has not been saved yet by Jesus, and so you need to come to Him and say, Lord, please wash me, please save me, please forgive my sin. I know I'm a broken person, I know I'm a person that's made mistakes, but I am confident that through Your life and through Your sacrifice, You can take that away from me and give me peace in You. Or you might be a person, so if there's, I guess, three kinds of people. The Christian who's walking with God, who needs to keep the gospel in front of him or her all the time. The person who's never come to Christ before. And then thirdly, the Christian who's fallen away and needs to return to that love. They think, oh, I got to get myself together before I come back to church. I got to get myself together before I can speak to God again. And what does He say to you? Come back. Come back. My cleansing is enough for you. You are washed. I will forgive that sin you've fallen into and restore you. Whatever it may be, don't hold it back. Be honest with it. Be washed again, in a sense, by Jesus' hands. So after we have received, we need that type of love. Amen? And after we've received a love like this, we must go out and love one another. Love one another. But that might be a big change for most of us. In ourselves, we don't like loving one another, do we? No. I hate love in that sense. I mean, there's a certain sense in which the human type of love we usually think of, I love. Brotherly affection, romantic love. I love all that kind of stuff. But the type of God-like love, I don't like that kind of love in my natural self. That love is hard. It's a big change for me and for all of us. The chairs today might be a big change. When you think of when the chairs come into mind or this, I feel like I'm falling over. It's a big change for me. I should think of the new commandment that He gave. Or when you think of, you know, get this into your head. You're going to be hearing all year about the Eagles getting rid of Donovan McNabb. Was it a good move? Was it a bad move? The Eagles are doing something new this year. Something radically new. And it will be a big change. We're all going to have to get used to it. And I'm looking forward to it. But it's something new. A change, something new causes us angst. It causes us anxiety. And here, you have to get used to it. Jesus gives the new commandment, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. It's interesting. Love one another. Jesus repeats that over and over. Not only here, but through the rest of the Gospel of John when he's speaking to his disciples. Love one another. Do you think that's something he wants us to get into our heads? But when you love one another, it's always with, as I have loved you. See, so we start with the gospel, we start with the way that He has served us, we start with the way that He has washed us and loved us, and then we move to our love. That enables us, that inspires us, that motivates us to love one another. Now, there's an easy part and a hard part to this. The easy part is, as a Christian, in a sense, you know, we have the Old Testament laws, and they help us, they direct us. The moral law teaches us how to live. But Paul even says the law summed up in one word, and that word is love. Jesus here gives the new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. So as a Christian, in a sense, it's even easier than a Jew, because all you have to keep in mind is one commandment. One thing. Jesus says, I'm not going to give you 100 things. I'm going to give you one thing. And that is love. Love. That's the easy part. Love one another as I have loved you. That's easy to remember. You probably could repeat that back without me even trying. Or without me even putting it up on a board or having us repeat it a few times. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the easy part. The hard part is, what does this look like? What does this look like? Love one another. How do we do that? As I have loved you. As I have loved you. That is incredibly difficult. I can keep in mind the one command, but then ask me to do it, and I fight it all the day long. Jesus' love, when I look at His love, it knows no limit. And so I sometimes ask myself the question, well, my neighbor who's struggling here, what's the limit? Where's the cutoff point? Where do I stop loving this person? Or if there's someone I'm really having trouble with loving. Because love is hard. If you are with a person and you're loving them and you're doing as Jesus commanded, loving as He has loved, you get tired of it at times. It's really difficult. Where's the cutoff point? The cutoff point is this: love as He has loved. There's no limit. So when it comes to our families, when it comes to our stuff, when it comes to our mula, whatever it might be, there's no limit to the love we are to give. When it comes to our time, give. When it comes to our lives, give. Love one another as I have loved you. Open up your homes to one another. Open up your lives to one another. Open up your hearts to one another as He has loved you. Where's the limit that you would even lay down your life for the person next to you? Would you be willing to lay down your life if you're married? You know, it should be an easy answer. If your best friend is sitting next to you, it should be probably an easy answer. Though you might think a little bit longer about it. Where's the limit? To be able to lay down your life for the person next to you. And truthfully, in South Philly, that might actually happen. We have a greater chance of that happening here than other places, don't we? But most of the time, we're not required to lay down our lives for the person sitting next to us, are we? I mean, we're not like coming in and half of our congregation is not coming in because they've actually physically laid down their life for the person. No, but it is in some of the little things that you express that type of love. It's in the little things. It's in, I noticed that person looks like they're hurting. I don't want to deal with it. So you ignore them. Is that loving as Jesus has loved? No. We reach out to them. Go the extra mile. Love as He has loved. Jesus saw our plight when we weren't even looking for Him. And He loved us. He sent His Spirit upon us. He gave Himself up for us. So woe is we if we do not notice our brother or our sister in need and help them. Love as He has loved. Another way of looking at this is love. You know, what does our love look like for each other? It's servanthood. It's giving of ourselves. It's the feet washing. One of the wonderful things and curious things about the Mennonite church is that they actually practice feet washing once a year, like it's sometimes I think twice a year, as almost like a sacrament, though they don't have sacraments in the Mennonite church. But it's very interesting. And I've actually been involved in one feet washing. You want to get up and close and personal with a person. You want to notice all the dirty things about their feet and the, you know, you wash their feet. But that's the type of love. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. What's the extent of our love for each other? The dirtiest, simplest things that we can do for each other to show our love for one another. From the pulpit to out the back door, all of us should be willing to metaphorically wash each other's feet. And so today, Joel, I think you brought the wash basins, right? We're going to pause for a second. We're going to bring them up and we're all going to, I hope you clipped your toenails and we're going to wash each other's feet. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to wash each other's feet. But that is the extent. That is the extent. If Jesus washed our feet by the cross, so we too should be willing to serve one another. The last thing, the third thing about this love. So when we come to, we receive Jesus' love. That motivates us to love each other. And it's very interesting as I was reading this passage. And people have different programs for evangelism, don't they? They, you know, memorize these things and then, you know, knock on someone's door. And not that these things can be good, you know, in their own, if they're done in love, really. But knock on someone's door and they answer the door and you say, if you were to die today and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? You know, that, and there's programs and then, you know, there's tracks and those things can be good if they're done in love. But what is the key to spreading the gospel? What is the key to evangelism? It's not primarily a program. It's not a having. Some of us treat evangelism or sharing the gospel like I need to have all the answers. I need to be properly equipped before I go and spread the gospel. The woman at the well was not properly equipped in our sense. She had just met Jesus, and yet she's spreading it left and right to the people. I mean, she was still that day living in sin. And she's spreading it left and right, the gospel. So, we don't need to have all the answers. What do we need to have? A love that changes the world. A love that impacts the world. So if we've been loved by Christ, we can love one another. And that type of love, that Christ-like love, is the love by which all people know that we are Christians. What does he say here? Verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So he gives them the new command, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. He said it three times in that passage. Love one another as I have loved you, so much you love one another. And then by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So, you know, sometimes people complain about ingrown churches. You know, they are just, they're so into themselves and they have a love for one another. If you have the true love of Christ, you won't be ingrown. You will be looking outward. You will be sharing love, and you'll be practicing loving each other all the time, so that when people walk into our midst, they are amazed by the love they see here. I've never seen love like this before. This is the first day in my life that I've seen such tremendous love. That is the mark of a true Christian, is that Christ-like love. That they truly can, because you can know the right things. You can have all sorts of passages memorized, and I'm sure Satan has his book of passages memorized. And we want to do all those things. We want the teaching. We want to have the Bible memorized. But if you don't have love, if you haven't received the love of Christ, you're not showing the love of Christ. It means nothing. Love one another as I have loved you. That is the way that people are going to come to know Him, as He works through your love. That is the true mark of a Christian. And that is the way, initially, when I walked in here, let's see, what's today? The beginning of September. When I walked in here 9 years ago, 9 years ago and half a month, the night before, Evie and I, we had just moved into the city. We prayed, Lord, please lead us to a Bible-believing, Christ-centered church. And we started driving around that morning, and we came in here. Oh, we're too early for the service here. It's at 11:30, and so we started driving around a little bit, and then we came back. And we were embraced with tremendous love. We were welcomed into this family, and we also were invited over to Cummings' house for dinner that Sunday, which was for two kids who had just moved in the previous day, just got married, just come home from their honeymoon, and moved in to the apartment the previous day. That was, what a delight to be welcomed into a family. That day, we knew immediately we weren't going anywhere else. Because why? The mark of the true Christian was here, the love of Jesus. They opened their arms wide. You guys opened your arms wide and welcomed us with the love of Christ. Love that we, in smaller portions, had experienced elsewhere, but never to the extent that we experienced here. And we never went anywhere else. We never left. That is the type of love that He is asking you to show. That self-sacrificial love. The love that is empowered by the gospel. Amen? So after you've received His love, you obey the new commandment, which should be, in one sense, easy, because now you see it's one commandment to love one another, and by loving like the way He has loved, we impact the world. We impact the world. So it's not a program, it's not a system, it's simply this: love one another. I could have come up here and done this much more simply, and maybe some of you would be thanking me if I'd done it this way. I could have said, this is all I'm going to say today. As He has loved you, so must you love one another. It's all you have to remember this week. Love one another. Obey the new command, because He, just as He loved you. Amen? Father, we came to you. Where you came to us and opened your arms to us and drew us into a relationship with you and showered us with your love. The love that Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, and made peace between us and you. Lord, with that type of love, let us love one another, empower us to love one another, and let us change this world for you. And let all men know that we are your disciples by the love we show. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond by singing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. It starts with loving Him, and it ends with us loving each other.